We're going to dismiss the kids and go back to kids' worship at this time. You can make your way back there. Thank you again for being here today. We're honored that you all have chosen to assemble with us on this Lord's Day morning. It's a beautiful day. And once again, it's beautified, I believe, when we gather together and we magnify the name of the Lord Jesus in our praise and our worship, and as we learn and grow together to follow Christ more closely. We're continuing on with this series about the fruit of the Spirit. As I said last week, I know that I have taught and preached on this subject over the years many, many, many times, but it seems like every time I revisit it and I can reconsider it, the Lord speaks to me once again. How many of you found that about any passage or any particular theme in the Scripture? You just find that once again, just being refreshed and God speaking to you all over again. Sometimes renewing your mind about some things you already knew, you need to have reaffirmed for you. And sometimes it's like, wow, there's an awakening or an awareness about something you had not considered before. As we are doing this, I want to challenge you once more to see if you can recall what the fruit of the Spirit are. And they're up there for you, but without looking. Now, this is in the list, if you will, and in the order that they're found in the New International Version. You might have memorized them in a slightly different way, but there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, that last one, self-control, which is really giving God control of ourselves. It really is at the end of the day. And that's what it's all about. And as we said last week, these are not only admirable traits, they're desirable traits. We desire to see them being displayed in the lives of others, and certainly we should be desiring to display those traits ourselves in our own lives. In our interaction with people in this world, as we deal with things in this world. Yet we also saw last week that there are some selfish and sinful desires and behavior that we sometimes have that keep us from producing that fruit in the way that God intends. Is it really a big deal if we don't produce that fruit? Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, you know, if we say we believe in Jesus and just, you know, accept Him as our Savior, isn't that enough? Do we really have to display fruit? Well, I think it would be good if we ask Jesus. John 15 is where we're going to be. If you want to open your Bibles, you may. It'll also be on the overhead for you as we follow along and look to see what Jesus has to say about the importance of bearing fruit. Addressing His closest followers, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And verse 4, He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." In verse 6, He goes on, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." And then in verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, if you don't have your Bibles open, if you want to look at that screen, I'd like you to say that with me. This is Jesus talking. Are you ready? "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." That's very, very important. Very important. Is it important that we bear fruit? What does Jesus say? Absolutely. In fact, summing it up, what? Bearing much fruit glorifies God. How many of you want to glorify God today? Bear fruit. Bear fruit. And it identifies us as genuine Christians. See, it shows us to be His disciples. Is it important? How many of you want, not for your glory, see, for God's glory, how many of you want people that you interact with to know that you're a Christ follower? How many of you want people to know that you are serious and you are following Jesus? Then bear fruit. Right? Then bear fruit. But what fruit? What fruit is Jesus referring to? Some say he's talking about making converts, you know, making disciples. Others believe he's referring to good works or even prosperity. Still others are convinced he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Who's right? Now, there's a case that could be made for each of those, and if you read my bulletin article, I will give you some insights and some verses and passages about where you can find some verification or validation to consider any one of those as possibilities. Don't read it now, okay? Don't read it now, read it later. But I always believe that immediate context is so vitally important that we look at the immediate context as well as the general context. And a lot of times interpretations are made based on a large context of the Scripture without really considering the immediate context. In the immediate context, Jesus is going to go on speaking to his disciples. Same audience, same subject, still flowing. And this is what he continues to say. In verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Remember earlier he said, "Remain in me." Now what's he say? "Remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, "You are my friends, notice, if you do what I command. I'm no longer going to call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to do what? Go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command." What is it? Love each other. Now, it seems to me that the context here tells us what fruit Jesus is referring to. What he has in mind is the first in that list of the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Of course, I'm talking about love. Talking about love. And who would argue here today that we don't need more of that? As the old song from the 70s said, "What the world needs now." Now you know why I'm not on the praise team. Okay, is love what? Sweet love. Now, but before that lyric ever was written for that song, guess what Jesus said? What the world needs now, then and now, until he comes. Love. Love. So vitally important. It's what fits best in the context of, again, Jesus' statement that those branches which bear no fruit will be cut off. If someone shows no love for God, shows no love for others, then there's not ever going to be a change of heart. There's not going to be any fruit of repentance. There's going to be no gratitude or thanksgiving. There's going to be no character change. There's going to be no service in the kingdom. There's not going to be any sharing the gospel of Christ. So, in a sense, that love fruit encompasses all the other possibilities and interpretation. Because if we love him, the other things are also going to be fruit in our lives. On the other hand, if a disciple does love God, is seeking God, is humbly staying committed to Jesus, see, remaining in him, he's not going to be cut off just because he can't point to someone and say, "Well, look, you know, I shared Jesus with them and they became a Christian. See, there's my fruit. You probably know this, but not every Christian, not every Christ follower has yet brought someone to Christ. Notice I said yet. I pray that they will and understand the importance of that. But I don't know of anyone who would say, well, you know what, because they haven't converted anybody yet, they haven't been involved in that process, that, you know, they're going to be cut off. They're cut off from Jesus. No. But if we're bearing fruit of love, what do we, if we really do love God, we love others, are we going to share Jesus with them? Are we going to share the good news? Of course we will. That'll be an overflow from that. Neither will anyone be cut off if they're not prosperous. Now, see, some folks say that, well, the fruit here is prosperity, especially with the prosperity gospel that's going on today. They say, yeah, well, that's the fruit. You know, you're going to bear much fruit. You're going to be prosperous. And if you're not prosperous, then, well, evidently you're not really following Jesus. You're not really connected with him. As I say in my article, there's been a lot of fine Christian people who have chosen poverty. Jesus himself chose poverty for a purpose. Chose it. And the wealth that they're seeking is not material. They're seeking the wealth of the relationship with God and with Christ. And sharing that good news, many missionaries who are sharing or bringing people to Christ are not necessarily rolling in the dough. So yeah, come on. That's not what he's talking about. And if we thought it was just about doing good works, we'd find ourselves in this position where we're relying upon our works rather than on the grace of God. Will God's people, will followers of Jesus be doing good works? Absolutely. But if you're not doing as much as the next person, does that mean you'll be cut off? You're not bearing as much fruit as good works as someone else is. Then you'll be, no, Jesus isn't saying that. He's not saying that. As further evidence that the fruit that Jesus is speaking of here is really love, it'd be good for us to listen to his earlier words in John 13, 34 and 35. Now, in that text, it's earlier, but it's important. If you go through and read the Gospel of John, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, it's a conversation that he's having with his disciples. So it's not like we're going to an earlier time where he's having another conversation with other people. He says this with that same audience, same theme. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Love just as I have loved you. Does that sound familiar? Like, didn't we read something like that in John 15? As I've loved you, you're also to love one another. He says in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Compare that again with the statement we looked at in John 15, verse 8. He said that we show ourselves to be his disciples when we do what? Bear much fruit. Here's what does he say in John 13? You show you're my disciples by your love for one another. So what's the fruit that identifies us as followers of Christ? It's love. It's love. Yet, I'm sad to say that there's so many who profess to be Christians who don't bear much of that fruit. They profess to really be following Jesus and be connected to him, you know, remaining in him, drawing from him all of their energy and strength and spiritual insight, and yet they treat people with contempt, disregard, condemning, critical, judgmental. You've not known anyone like that. I pray we've never been people like that. But even as I say that, I confess I have been that. What a shame. What a shame. And it didn't bring God glory I'll tell you that. And it really didn't reveal to others that I was truly connected to Christ and following Him as I should have been. I'm so thankful God is gracious and forgiving and patient, aren't you? For every faithful disciple of Jesus will display a great deal of love. And we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Didn't He say in our text, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete? So if we're remaining in Him, we're following Him, if we're dedicated to Him, we're devoted to Him, you know, we're going to display love, joy, how about peace? Oh, yeah. We'll demonstrate a lot of patience, too. A lot of kindness, a lot of goodness, a lot of faithfulness, a lot of gentleness, and yeah, a lot of self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, yes, will come, but the first of that fruit is what? It's love. We'll give to those who are in need. Our lives will be marked with sacrifice. One of the songs we sang earlier talked about Jesus on the cross, His sacrifice being once again a demonstration, a display of God's love. Romans 5 says that. Do you realize how much when we sacrifice for others that we're displaying the love of God? And yes, those who are really following Jesus, committed to Jesus, loving God, will be also committed to His mission. Yes, to seek and save the lost. I mentioned earlier the patience of God, and we're glad He's patient, amen? Well, I want to share with you, kind of in closing here, a parable from Luke 13. Luke 13. It's a parable of an unfruitful tree. You can read it if you'd like, but I'm going to just paraphrase it for you. There's an owner of a vineyard, and he has a tree in the vineyard that's not producing fruit. And it's been given plenty of time, but it's not producing fruit. And so he orders one of the workers in the vineyard to cut it down. And the worker, the servant, says, let's give it a little more time. Give me another year to work with it. I'll dig around the roots. I'll fertilize it. I'll water it. Give me a little more time. One more year. And we'll see if it'll bear fruit. And the owner of the vineyard says, no, I'm done with it. No, he doesn't. He's patient. He's gracious and says, okay. But the idea is, if it doesn't bear fruit then, cut it down. Now, in context, again, as I said, context is so important. The parable's directed to the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, and telling them they have not been bearing fruit. They've been judgmental, critical, condemning of everyone. They've been rule keepers. They've had no relationship with God. They've not been loving people, kind people, gentle people, sweet people. They've not produced the fruit. And he's wanting them to know, if you don't repent and start producing fruit, you will be cut off. They didn't repent. And they were cut off. That was then. That was them. But hear me, dear ones. Could it be? Is it possible that this is also a message for us? Could it be that there are some believers who aren't producing fruit? They talk a good talk, but there's no fruit in their walk. Could it be? Could it be that there's an urging here that, look, you're to produce fruit? You're to produce. Jesus said, remain in me and you'll produce fruit. If you don't produce fruit, what though? That branch will be cut off. So is there the urging, the encouraging to produce fruit? But I love again the good, gracious Father we have. And the wonderful, wonderful grace that he gives us in Jesus. And he says, I'll give you more time. I'm going to give you some more time. Maybe all you've been producing is bad fruit, rotten fruit. Maybe you've been trying to produce fruit by your own efforts and it's never going to happen. Not real fruit, fruit that'll last, as he spoke about. But guess what? God loves you. He has a plan for you, and the plan is to produce fruit. And he'll give you some time. It's interesting that he told his disciples that they were clean by the word he spoke. I'm sharing you the word he spoke. You can be pruned, you can be cleaned. You can be prepared, again, to bear fruit if we'll be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, to the Word of Jesus. The Apostle Peter tells us that God's not slack or slow in his promises. He's faithful. He'll keep them. But he's patient with everyone. He desires everyone to come to repentance. So if you're out there and you're thinking, I'm not bearing fruit. If there's someone who's going to be within the sound of my voice and they're comparing their fruit with the fruit of somebody else and saying, you know, I'm not bearing fruit like they're bearing fruit, pray about that. Consider what might be hindering you, but recognize that apart from Jesus, you can't produce fruit. That's what he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the plea is to be connected to him. If you've drifted, better get reconnected or you can't bear fruit. If you are connected, but for some reason there's been something again that's been hindering you from producing the fruit, there's some things that need to be pruned in your life, then turn those over to him. It's not too late. He's patient. But he won't tolerate unfruitfulness forever. He won't. Except God's love in Jesus. Stick with him. Don't leave him. Stay connected to him. And hear me, you will be fruitful. I promise you that. How can I promise you that? Because Jesus promised that. Amen? He said, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. A whole lot of love. A whole lot of joy, a whole lot of peace, a whole lot of patience, a whole lot of kindness, a whole lot of goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your grace and mercy and patience and kindness. And God, that you looked upon us who, for all intents and purposes, we were dead in our sins and there's no way we could ever produce anything that would bring you glory or identify us really as your children. But in him, through him, his sacrifice, his life, and your spirit living within us, Christ in us, yes, there's so much potential for fruit bearing. Father, we're here today, and I pray that everyone here can agree with me. We want to be fruit bearers for Jesus. We want to bear fruit for the kingdom. We want folks to see your love displayed in us in such a way that we can point to you and point to Jesus. You'll receive the glory, and people will be drawn to you through Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. If there's anyone here who has not yet confessed Jesus, who's struggling, who feels dead and dried up and like they can never do anything good, God, I pray that they'll realize there's abundance in Jesus for now and life eternal. We pray this in Jesus' name.